When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions, and on this Wednesday night, there's no mistake what the main event is. Unless you were here for game number one, and you were like, man, I tell you what, there's a lot of conversations going on around the value of ERA and a one Chris Bubich. And it just so happens that good old KB Chrissy Boob is on the mound against the New York Yankees. And it just so happens Tom Vecchio is here with us. Now, the thing is, Tom, we'll get to Yankees Royals in just a bit. I want to talk some NBA Finals with you, pal, because we've got a great game, I think, potentially on our hands tonight.
Yeah, we do. We'll start off with some basketball. You know, lines moving a bit. It's five and a half over the past, you know, day and a half. It's bouncing back and forth. We have talked about routinely over not just this series, but dating back to prior series with the Pacers. Oh, every time that they fall under X amount, they bounce back. And that next game, they are scoring a ton of points. And we saw it routinely, you know, especially in that Knicks series where they lose, they're held under 100 points, and boom, what do you know, they're scoring. So I honestly want to know what your take is tonight, because I'm expecting a close game. And my prevailing sentiment I have this game is the Pacers need to be within arm's reach, essentially, within that number at halftime. If they are down by 8, 10 points, 12 points at halftime, I think the Pacers, they will lose this game by 15 if they can't keep it close.
Yeah, I think it is a good note to make in that the Pacers and their insane comebacks, it is not how they've won all of their games. They've done it in every single round, but this team has, they win by, you know, multiple possessions, call it, right? More than you would think. Here's the example I'll give. I was kind of doing some of this on the way in, Tom. The Pacers have won 13 games. The Thunder have won 13 games. The Knicks have won 10. Knicks, of their 10 victories, 6 of them were by 6 or fewer points, 2 possessions. The Pacers, 5, and the Thunder, 4. And so when you percentage, you know, that out, it gives you an idea, again, just how close a lot of those Knicks games were. And I think the Knicks-Pacers series, people were kind of grouping them in. And listen, they both have had great comebacks. But it's not how the Pacers, they do not live and die by the comeback. This is a team that jumps on groups. And we showed this, Tom, at the top of our show. I'm sure you're familiar with it. But the Thunder on the road have just not been what everybody thinks. This team has yet to cover a road game. And I know for myself, that's fact got me incredibly excited to lay at the time minus three with them against the Minnesota Timberwolves, saying this team's too good to never cover for a road game. Come on. They win the game by two. The Thunder have, you know, they're, I think, what, 4-3 straight up on the road? They look, they blow people out, Tom, but they're not as dominant, I think, in some areas that people give them credit for being.
Yeah, and that's certainly part of my reasoning with the Pacers, you know, needing to come out with that urgency in first half, first quarter especially, where they have to keep it close. Again, they have to keep this within the number the entire game. Because in my mind, I think the Pacers, they win close, they don't win big. And I think you might agree with that, that if they're going to win, it's not going to be them winning by 15 or 20 points. At least I don't think so. And if the Thunder can win in multiple ways. They can either win close and they don't cover that number, or they can win by 10, 15 points, as we've seen them do for the most part, except on the road. So I am very thinking like this game has to go one way for the Pacers, or it's just going to be the pendulum is going to swing the entire way to the Thunder side of things.
So here's what I would say, though, and this is why I think the Pacers is fascinating. This is a team that in every single round has beaten their opponent at least once by 19 or more on their home floor. So it's really funny, Tom, right? I think here's something I know from, I think, the weekend you and I agree about. The Pacers are going to get one of these games, right?
Yes.
But if I sit here and say, okay, so I'm going to get plus 180, right? $100 better. I bet it tonight. I lose. Oh, well. Come back. Let's hope you get the same number the next game. Okay, you win. You really risk 200 to win 80. It's not the best bet of your life. I have considered, Tom, alt spreads a little bit on the Pacers tonight in that maybe the victory for Indiana will come with a foot off the gas pedal-ish from OKC, and they cover minus 8.5 at plus 520 in one of these two games.
I love that thought process. I really do. Because that's something I talk about, or I think about a lot when it comes to football. We're like, what if the Pacers win? Again, I do think it would be close, but in theory, then they would be covering 3 or 4 points, whatever that number you want to find on the other side would be. Right. So you could look at that alt spread where the Pacers, they're in control the entire time. And then when push comes to shove, they do pull the starters, the Thunder, that is. And then they say, listen, we lost this game. We'll be ready for game four. And then they'll take that and then, you know, wrap things up as the series goes on. But I honestly don't hate that approach at all.
Yeah, I think that is something that I'm considering. Now, I will say I am holding out that I could get maybe a plus six tonight, in which case I'll just bet the Pacers plus the six and be happy with that. I have some action already on my card. Have you played any props for this one tonight, Tom?
I have. Let's go to Haliburton over 4.5 points in the first quarter. It was sitting at plus 124. You know, you have talked about specifically about holding star players accountable, and what he did in game two was unacceptable. Just, I think it is unacceptable. Looking at the box score and you see the 17 points, you're like, oh, okay, you know, 17 points, they lost the game. 12 of those points, as everyone knows, came in the fourth quarter. And when we're seeing one of, when it comes to Haliburton to start the first three quarters, 1 of 4, 0 of 1, 1 of 2, 5 points heading into the fourth quarter as your star player, unacceptable. Now, I know he's got this leg issue bothering him, whatever it might be, but he still has to come out with some type of urgency. And again, he doesn't have to be taking 40 shots, but you can't be having 5 points heading into the fourth quarter. At that point, we'd be looking at the Thunder well in control of another game. So he's got to come out, and I'm not saying he needs to drop 30, but give me 5-6 points in the first quarter, at least get off to a strong start.
I think it's really fascinating to see how Haliburton attacks in this game. I think, you know, well, here's what I would say. His first half was, I agree with you. In the third quarter, he did also nothing, call it.
Yeah.
He was so much more decisive. I know it wasn't resulting in, you know, in big stat lines, but they were doubling hard. He was hitting the right guy. And I thought that his fourth quarter performance felt less surprising and less irrelevant than I know some people were suggesting, because I thought he set the foundation for it coming out of half. My only thing, Tom, and why I'm hesitating on that first quarter play, not that I'm fading it,
Right.
But if they are overly aggressive on him, he's still not going to take bad shots. He's just going to have a big assist quarter potentially, I think, in the first.
Very, very fair. And it's a point where, like, OKC will, at a certain point, I think they may sell out and they'll be like, listen, Toppin, you were hot that first game. We'll let you shoot. Like, it wasn't a great game too for Obi Toppin, but if you're we'll let Obi Toppin shoot. Right, Nesmith, you can shoot. We'll let these guys shoot. If that's how they're going to beat us, so be it. But we will try to shut down Haliburton. I totally understand that.
It's going to be really interesting to follow. We'll talk a little more NBA Finals. We will also update the Conn Smythe because it remains, and this is not in any slight, my favorite part of that Stanley Cup Final. And we will hit the baseball board as well. We're live here with you on a Wednesday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, we're live with you right here on Sports Grid. Great to have everybody in the mix. We're with Tom Vecchio. We're talking through some NBA Finals. Again, we're going to get to some Conn Smythe. We're going to get to some Major League Baseball with you here on this evening and going through all of the different options, and we're setting a couple of things up, and I think we're in a good spot now. Just take me through this again quickly, Tom. What does the card look like for you for game number 3 of the NBA Finals?
Again, I'm on Haliburton over 4.5 points in the first quarter. That's sitting at +124. I do have the Pacers at 5.5, and I'm waiting to take a live under. You know, 226, we've seen this number drop a little bit. I want to see some scoring early. If that gets close to 230, 232, I'm going to be taking a live under only if it gets to that point.
I'm glad you actually brought that up because this total has moved in a way that you, beginning of the series, thought we could start to see. I think it's really interesting that it's happening off of an over. I think the books are playing a dangerous game here, though, Tom, because you look now at the last two games, and the Pacers have scored 30-plus points in the third and fourth quarters of both of those two games. Yeah. I'm going to say this. I'm not playing tonight's total. Like, I hope you get this under. Sometimes with this series, like, I already can tell you my game 4 best bet if you do. Like, it's going to be a 224.5 flying over the total, because I still believe we're going to get at least one of these games in the 240s.
Right. And we've talked about this prior to the series. We talked about this on BATR last Saturday, our thoughts about the series and the total and how it how it will play out, essentially. It is moving in the direction that I anticipated. Obviously, going from 226 to 220 is a lot. That would be a big jump. But I'm totally on board with that reaction and then counter reaction, whatever you want to call it. If they do drop to 224, that could be a very clear over. I was hesitant about the 228s, and I want to take them under. But a 4 or 5 point difference from the opening, that is a market to attack.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little Conn Smythe here, Tom. I don't want to influence, not that I would, but just I want to be super careful. What do you make right now of the Conn Smythe market?
It's looking like, and Sam Bennett, as I'm seeing live right now, is minus 120. So that number has even moved even further. But it's looking like it's going to be Sam Bennett, especially if the goals continue. And you could say that he may take a step back and he drops to 2-1, 2.5-1, whatever it might be. Marchand has another goal. He drops to 5-4, whatever it might be. Bobrovsky is the interesting element to this, because let's just say hypothetically Bennett and Marchand don't score for the rest of the series, however many more games that may be, and Bobrovsky comes up with massive performances. That 12-1 number on Bobrovsky looks very, very enticing, because we can ultimately say that he deserved to win it last year. And then if we have Bennett and Marchand that essentially tied this year, especially once we get to the Stanley Cup, if Bobrovsky has series-defining moments, the Riders may give it to him.
So that is where I'm at. I don't, maybe I didn't realize how gaudy the Bennett goal tally was, but before game three, I was tempted by Bobrovsky, because I think so much of these Panther skaters cancel one another out. And Bob's case last year, he's been really, really good, obviously. Bobrovsky was around plus 340. Going into that game, the fact that they were held to one goal and he is now 12-1, I think this is a good reminder, Tom, that this is an award that right now is being bet on. And I don't think that it's been leaked out to the gamblers. Everyone's leaning Bennett. I don't believe so. I think there is immense value now on Bobrovsky inside the Conn Smythe trophy market.
Yeah, and one of the things I would want to point out is the Panthers had 11 power play opportunities in that game. So let's just, that game could have, if they didn't have as many power play opportunities, I said this to Joe Ranieri last night, that game could have very, very easily ended 3-1, right? 3-1, maybe 4-1, they get an empty netter at the end of the game. So a 3-1 game looks a whole lot different compared to 6-1. And use all those extra points that are, the point is all those extra points that are tallied up because of those extra goals and extra power play opportunities. If that game ended 3-1, which is very well where it could have ended, would Bobrovsky's number be at 12-1? I don't think so. That would be like, hey, this was a low scoring game. Bobrovsky controlled everything from start to finish. Bob's number would be at 8-1. So also, I'm on board with saying that there was too much scoring, and Bobrovsky's number is extremely enticing. I have a piece of him at 3.5-1 prior to the series, and then part of me wants to buy back in.
And here's the thing. So Sam Bennett has 4 goals in this series, and I don't want to discount that. There's a legitimate chance he finishes as the top goal scorer without scoring again.
Yeah.
He's minus 230 to score another goal in this series.
Yeah.
He is plus 180. To score 2 more goals in this series, yet minus 120 to win this award. I don't know if this guy's going to win this award, Tom, without another 2 goals. I mean, maybe he can start to do it with the assists, but if this series, again, finishes with Bobrovsky playing really well, I don't want to say the Bennett stuff's going to be forgot, but and I know we're kind of now just, you know, agreeing with one another here, but I'm really surprised. If the series ended after 3 games, here we go again, right? Okay, sure, maybe Bennett would win it. But we still got a lot more to play.
Yeah, and this comes down to, you know, a lot of like what you are expecting in the series overall. And some of it is splitting hairs of like, listen, if the series goes 7 games, Bobrovsky could be in a spot to win. But if they wrap things up quickly and Bennett has series defining goals, then he's going to win it. So it's like, what do you want to tell yourself? But I think Bob is the answer right now if you have no bets.
Yeah, that's, I also, like, the Leon at 11 is interesting, but I almost now wonder if, like, the momentum is just so lost, if you still believe in Edmonton, where if they do come back, it's just going to be a McDavid avalanche. if you will. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. And we will see if Tom has any action on the baseball board. I did have someone say to me today, he better. He better have a bet today fading Chris Bubich. That's what I heard. That's what people were saying. We'll see what the story is for our guy Tom Vecchio next right here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We're back right here on Sports Grid, and maybe the moment you've been waiting for. 7:40 first pitch, Chris Bubich on the mound against the New York Yankees. I mean, Tom, was this not a circle-up spot for you, pal?
It was after last Thursday. I was looking to see when Bubich would be next on the mound, and it wasn't in the White Sox series over the weekend that, you know, Donnie and I covered, especially on Sunday, but it came today versus the Yankees when it's 89 degrees. We got wind blowing out to left field at 8 miles per hour. It is pristine, if not amazing, hitting weather for the Yankees today and the power that they have. So let's go to Chris Bubich. Over on his earned runs, we're not going to be talking about the difference between ERA and xFIP, but Bubich, over earned runs, DK in their infinite wisdom have two different markets that list the same props, so make sure you've been on the right one. Over 2.5 earned runs is +110. Bubich has a 36.6% fly ball rate. We got the wind blowing out. Mm-hmm. All this takes is one swing. You get some runners on base. Also, Bubich, 7.5% walk rate isn't bad, but the Yankees get on base. Judge comes up. We got another 470-foot home run from him, cashing on one swing.
Look, it's a great breakdown. I would say I would be interested in an alt under of a half. He has not allowed an earned run in three straight starts yet this season. He's allowed one in each of his last two. I'm just saying I'd be interested, Tom, in the max payout, if you will, on Chris Bubich.
Shouldn't this be the opposite of what you normally like to bet? It's a bounce back spot. The opposite of bounce back is he's due to give up a lot of runs.
No, so, well, based on his season, actually, he is legitimately due to throw a shutout performance, like based on how he's been pitching. Can I use this as a segue to bring up Aaron Judge, though?
Yes.
Here's why, truly. Me and the team and anyone I can come across, like, trying to find ways to put the Judge season into perspective, and this is, again, truly with, just to be clear, no snark, smile, or any, like, can you give me your favorite Aaron Judge statistic as we sit here on June 11th? Because, you know, what's the number for you, Tom, that represents how dominant of a start this has been for big number 99?
I mean, I don't like batting average, obviously. I prefer to lose.
We know that.
We know that. But the fact that he's batting nearly 400 is bananas. I would say the one that stands out the most is that he's not just, it's probably not just a splits thing where his OPS is over, is nearly 1200 or higher versus both lefties and righties. And specifically, his WRC plus versus lefties is at 308. And WRC plus the league average is always at 100. So to scale it means he's 208% better than the league average versus lefties. Like, it is a banana stat. I would have to go back and compare to what he did in his 62 whatever home run season to see what that was. I mean, if Fangraphs will load quickly, I could give you an answer. But off the top right now, let's see. I'll give you. So versus lefties in his home run season of 62, he was 173 WRC plus versus lefties. He's 308 this year. He is substantially better this year than versus a record setting season.
Yeah, I find it to just be out of this world this whole season. Again, imagine if Luis Arraez had 25 home runs. Like, it's the inverse. Like, the best power hitter in baseball is hitting, you know, let me ask you this, Tom. Could you give me a ballpark on what you think his batting average, I know you don't love the number, but based on the numbers you have, what you think it would finish around?
335 to 347.
I would be pretty surprised if he was under 340 now at this point.
It's like a part of me is obviously he's not the prototypical 400 swinger. So he will go through a stretch where he's going to strike out a lot. And then I think it'll get to a point he's going to start to get walked as the season goes on. So he's going to have games where he goes 0 of 2. And then he has two intentional walks. So, like, he may not be in rhythm to get a ton of swings, essentially. So the average will artificially drop, essentially.
I think that's interesting. That's really interesting. What I would say, though, my one on the, he is not your prototypical 400 hitter, except for this year, where if I were to say, hey, Aaron Judge hit 396 until the middle of June, you would legitimately think he has 35 home runs.
Yeah.
It's just been it's been totally outlier. It's been incredible to watch. Tom, really appreciate it. We're going to talk to Adam Kaufman around the NBA Finals next year on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, it is Game Time Decisions, and we bring Adam Kaufman in to talk some NBA Finals. I'm very excited to talk to Adam because I know that he is a clear pacer, respecter, and understander, of which I do not think is unanimous across all people evaluating this series, but I also know you were very strong in at least OKC's dominance over Minnesota and potentially in a finals matchup. So what has been your biggest takeaway through these first two games of the NBA Finals, Adam?
Well, first, I would like to announce to all of our viewers and listeners that despite being requested, I will not be interviewing with the New York Knicks for the head coaching position. I just wanted to get that out of the way. Look, through the first two games, we're now sitting at a best of five, obviously, and technically Indiana has home court advantage. You know, we'll see, obviously, how that plays itself out over the course of these couple of games in Indy. But to your point, I entered this series with great respect for the Pacers, but only up to a certain threshold, meaning I still felt the Thunder were going to win. I still felt this wasn't going to go seven. I just really respected the Pacers enough to say, look, Indy's going to be there. They're going to be resilient. Pacers are going to put up a fight. They're going to challenge the Thunder. They're not going to get swept. They're not going to get embarrassed. They're going to be in this thing. And that, to me, meant investing, as we may or may not have talked about, I've certainly mentioned it a number of times across Sports Grid in general, investing in the Thunder in a couple of different ways pre-series. Thunder in five, Thunder and six, figuring that plus money on both those and one of them ends up coming home. And, you know, right now, obviously, I don't feel as good about OKC in five. How could you when we're looking at a split in OKC? But OKC in six, I still think is incredibly live. It's the better team. It is the deeper team. It's the more well-rounded team. All of these things, as we have talked about, I just think the Pacers are a team that doesn't go away. You know, going into game two, one of the things that we talked extensively about was, you know, hey, do you invest in Indy in off of what we saw in game one, at the very least hanging around and take the 11, 11.5? And my feeling was, no, I wouldn't. I also wouldn't lay it with OKC. That to me was a live opportunity where if the Thunder went out and answered the way that I thought they were going to answer, that was going to open up a chance to invest in Indy at a much more favorable number. And I even tweeted it out at the time. I don't remember if it was halftime or, you know, a timeout stoppage, whatever point it was, as I'm putting my kids to bed and I'm looking at it, I'm going, we can get Indy at plus 22.5 right now. How do we not jump on that? And sure enough, they end up losing by 16 or whatever it was, because again, this Pacers team does not go away. And so going into this game here tonight and just where do we stand with the series in general, I think if you're a Thunder backer and you've lost some opportunity now, if we were having this conversation after game one, Kev, you know, if you're a Thunder backer, it was, Pacers did us a favor. Look at the numbers that we can get now on Thunder minus 1.5. Look at the numbers we can get on the Thunder just to win the series before the inevitable balloon or boomerang, slingshot, what have you, all the way back the other way as soon as the Thunder went and evened things up. So I think it's going to be an interesting situation in Indy. I would not be at all surprised if the Pacers do take one of these two games and we're tied and it's a best of three going back to OKC. But I think at that point in time, the Thunder just win the next two. It still doesn't go seven.
Yeah, I think that, again, a Pacer respecter believed this would not be a sweep, right, to which you and I then were in lockstep. I just went a step further in thinking it was six or seven, right, sure, as instead of five or six, right? But again, I'm sure a lot of us landing on in six, which is right now still what I expect, because I don't expect the Pacers to not win one of the home games, and not only based on who they are, Adam, but a point I will continue to make on our show tonight. The Thunder on the road in this postseason have been a very different team than who they've been at home. They've not covered a game, sitting 0-7, and that's not because they lay 10 in every single road game. They have one win out of the seven chances on the road by 6 points. So it's a spot for me where I expect the Pacers to get one of these games, certainly. It maybe could interest me in an alt line on Indiana. That's the side. Are there props that jump out to you heading into this one?
So there are a couple things with that. I feel similar to this extent about this game as I did game two. I was emphatic. I was over the top, throw a mortgage payment kind of mentality on the Thunder are going to win game two. I just didn't know by how much. Mm-hmm. I don't really know who wins this game, but what I would say is, you know, it's still to me into your pass if you're looking to make a pregame wager. I wouldn't, though, make that pregame wager. I'd sit, I'd wait, I'd assume the Thunder take a lead at some point relatively early, and you get that live better opportunity to invest in Indiana at double figures, you know, whatever that is, whether it's 10-11, whether it's 15-16. Anything is going to be better at that point than the 5.5. And maybe I'll be wrong, the Pacers control this thing from start to finish. I would be shocked if it ends up playing itself that, you know, playing out that way, because the Thunder, again, are just way too good. Plus, you know, you can, people have mentioned this, you can decide, it's a little narrative street, you can decide how much you put any credence into it, but the whole curse of the game threes thing, right? The Pacers have, you know, they lost game three against the Bucks, they lost game three against the Cavaliers, they lost game three against the Knicks. Of course, one common denominator in all of those three series that does not exist now is they were up 2-0 in those series. So there was the potential for a little bit of a letdown. This one, you still have that, not in a literal sense, obviously, it's a best of five cleanly, but mentally, it's a little bit of fighting for your season and knowing how important these games are at home. And I think the guy that needs to put that into action, to go back to your original question about the props, has to be Tyrese Halliburton. And I thought my guy Prop Bomb, who's got a Discord, put these numbers out earlier, and I felt this way even before I read this, but it only, you know, added a little bit of confirmation bias. Tyrese Halliburton here, as I just pull up the numbers. So through two games, Indiana has a plus 3.3 net rating with Halliburton on the floor and minus 35 when he is off. That is a function of Halliburton in part not necessarily doing quite enough offensively, but the fact also that the bench is giving Indiana nothing when he is off the floor. Or, you know, you could look at Siakam or Turner or some of these other guys that are simply not contributing enough. It has to be, obviously, Halliburton. And, you know, he had 17 points in the last game, but did he? I mean, that's what the box score says. But he had 12 points in the fourth quarter after the game was already settled and the Thunder were already thinking about game three and their flight. It didn't matter. He had 5 points when the game was actually in play. And so I think you're going to get an early answer out of Halliburton. You have to. For me, it's probably more of a points plus assist combo over than it is leaning into one specific category or the other, because I think he could be a capable facilitator, again, for Turner, for Siakam, for some of these other guys to drive, create opportunities in the paint especially. But I think he's going to be shooting too, because he has to be. Your best player has to be your best player when you need him the most, and that's Halliburton tonight.
Yeah, he's got to impact the game more. The one thing I've kind of said to people is I don't know if that is 25 points or if it's 12 assists, but that's sure. Maybe where that combination comes into play. I think one of the other just really interesting things is we've not seen the Pacers lose consecutive games in the playoffs. Like, they just, they've been much better, I still think, than people realize. So you're still thinking in six right now is the thought for you?
Correct. Yeah, still Thunder in six. And honestly, I wouldn't rule out five. But if you're asking me what do I believe, it's six. I don't think we're going seven.
All right. Time will certainly tell. Always appreciate Adam making some time for us here. Going through game number three of the NBA Finals. A reset quickly just from me. The under 33.5 for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is my favorite bet heading into this game, along with some plays on Chet defensively. Over half a steal, over 2.5 blocks. And then I do think Pascal will score off of the loss, which he has done in three straight times they've played following a loss. We take a break. We come right back, though, live here on this Wednesday. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Game Time Decisions is live. Kevin Walsh here. I'm going to say something. And, of course, Dave Sharapan is here, Sportsbook and Sig. Dave, I'm going to say something I don't think I've ever said to you before. I think, though, that our friendship is strong enough that I can say this.
You can say anything.
I think that is a really ugly hat.
Yeah. Well,
would you like? I know you like to have something from as many places as possible.
Yeah.
Do you like? I mean, if you have it, you must. I don't love that hat.
I don't know. It's I'm iffy on it.
Okay.
It looks better in person than it does on camera. And
I could see it.
It's not bad. Okay. It's a limited selection. It's a limited selection with OKC stuff out in the desert, just so you know. I do have another one, and I might strongly consider changing to that one for in-game live tonight with Wetzel after that comment. So it's a navy one. It's not bad. But I had to wear something basketball tonight because I know, you know, there's basketball NBA Finals game three. But I did hear your conversation earlier with Vecchio, and I did a little research for you. You wanted an Aaron Judge stat or
yes,
two?
Please.
All right. Let me give you this. I got this from my guys at MLB Network. Judge leads the majors right now with a 396 average. That's the highest by any player in his first 65 games since Chipper Jones in 2008. But Judge has 10 more homers with 24 than Jones did at that point with 14. Okay, so that's one good one. The other one is Judge's 97 hits through his first 65 games are the most by any hitter since D. Gordon did it in 2015, who had 100 hits. But at that time, D. Gordon had no homers in a .422 slugging percentage in that stretch, a mark that Judge has nearly doubled with a .776 slugging percentage. He's incredible, Kevin. Incredible.
Yeah, it's beautifully said. And the first thing I did when you gave us the Chipper Jones stat, Chipper hit .364 that season. Can you give me the D. Gordon year? Again,
yes, it was 2015.
Okay, because let's see, and I'm a huge D. Gordon had a 333. That's on the lower end of usually where we see these guys finish. I think I am fascinated by it, Dave. I know we're here talking finals. We're going to talk finals, you know, a little bit more. But what Aaron Judge is doing is worth chewing up a bit of the coverage for. I believe that he's minus 20,000 to win the American League MVP.
Yeah.
Ohtani.
We should take that down at this point, Kevin. Like, just take it down.
You know what? I agree, though, because all you're going to do are take these $1, $2, you know, Raleigh, Witt bets. And I don't know if it's worth it. Nah. At this point, on the off chance that those things actually hit you, I don't. Here's the other problem: Aaron Judge being minus 20,000, Cal Raleigh should be 100-1. Everyone in that market should be 100-1. So that's probably why they leave it up. Because listen, we'll call it like we see it. We're not getting a good number on those guys. If I can bring the basketball up after I did insult your hat, which again I've never done before. I likely will never do again. It's happened to me. I have a Charlotte Hornets hat. From the draft one year, the year they drafted Malik Monk, nobody likes it. I don't even know if I like it that much anymore. I'll send you a picture of it later. But what are you hearing around this game tonight with OKC and Indiana?
Huge theme to the under. I mean, the total is really dropping. Yeah, like that's been one of the things consistently. That's not just a professional play. That's a public play as well. And I mean, it's coming down to the point where it's 226 out here in the desert, 226.5, pretty much consensus number. As far as the side, I mean, we got to the number early. The price discovery was easy on this one. It was, you know, open at 5, move it up to 5.5 if they lay it. If you need a bet on the Pacers, you just go to 6. It's an automatic take for anybody with a bag and wants to make a limit play. So we're going to settle in right here at 5.5. I will be very surprised. I mean, a book or two out here bounced to 5 earlier this afternoon, jumped it right back up to 5.5. So you got to the number, Kevin. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I think OKC wins the game. I don't know how or by how many, but I think OKC wins the game.
I don't know. Let me ask you this, Dave. Can I show you this? How many people have you heard talking about this, Dave? Because you know how this it gets scary when everybody gets aware.
Yep.
They've not covered a road game yet. 0-7 so far.
0-7. I know.
Are you hearing it a lot? Or are you hearing it a little?
A lot.
I mean, hearing it a lot. Your ear is to the ground.
Yeah, it's been the source of again, when we get to the NBA Finals, we're all talking about the same thing, the same five talking
points. That's true.
On every
That's
show, true. From us to the Four Letter Network to every podcast in between, you know, even the Kevin Walsh podcast, which you guys should be listening to if you're not. It's one of those things that some people will just bet it because it's happened 7 times in a row. Other people, and I know a lot of these people in the books, will bet opposite of it because it's going to end. They may win by four tonight, right? It may fall within the number.
Yeah. I think it might. I think for me, you would imagine game four. So let's just say the Thunder do not cover tonight, whether it's a loss or they win by between one and five. Mm-hmm. Game four is going to feel like the, okay, all this not covering stuff stops. That was game four against Minnesota, man. That line was three, and they won that game, and they didn't cover that game. And when people say, hey, name the four most memorable things from the finals, they're going to get real annoyed when that's one of my four, because I'm not over that. I am not, and I won't get over it anytime soon. We'll do a couple of questions. We'll re-rack the best bets. Do not forget, until 8:30, Coach is around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's Wednesday night on Sports Grid. Happy to have everybody here in the mix. If you are right now on the Major League Baseball board, not a ton of movement. Nerfy comes in Minnesota, Texas. It's looking that way in Royals, Yankees. Baltimore's up 2-0 on Detroit. Boston 2-1. Tampa, Mets with a big comeback win against Washington. Lead 3-0 today against the Nats in the bottom of the third. Kevin Walsh again with Dave Sharapan here. Consig will be live for the finals tonight. We are going to take it up until 8:30 with Coach joining us in just a couple of moments. Dave, I thought I'd show you what I got and tell me what you think.
Sam Bennett?
My favorite bet. Oh, you know what? Zag, we'll do the finals in a second. Am I nuts or is the Bobrovsky's now like 11-12-1? What's going on here?
I don't know. I heard you also talking about that earlier with Vecchio and said, wow, Kevin's thinking right. Now, I don't know if it's going to get there. We need a low scoring game. We need Edmonton to win a game 3-1. Or lose a game 2-1 or 3-1. And the way this series is going, we may not get an under game. So to get Bobrovsky to the window. Otherwise, it's amazing to me, the Bennett steam and the price adjustment to make him there. Now, obviously, McDavid wins it. If Edmonton wins, I can't see it any other way at this point. But a couple guys may split votes. You know, Marchand is just coming alive now for this. The thing with the Conn Smythe is it's not the finals MVP like the basketball. So you might get some, you know, other guy getting voted in or something, but it's really the top three guys to win, skaters or Bobrovsky.
Yeah, I don't know. I say it's not as a joke, Dave. Like, this happens. I don't know if there was like a syndicate play, if a, you know, someone, you know, hey, team, Bennett's the guy. Because you know, that going to minus 120 is bets. That's not someone in the back room, you know, read a Twitter breakdown on the advanced stats on Bennett and made the number minus 120. It's just that's my read on it, Dave. I would imagine yours is the same, right?
It's probably a bet. It's not a multitude of bets. You know, somebody moved it. To get it to somebody had to be the favorite. I mean, because up to this point, everybody was plus except Connor McDavid. Right. The move was somebody had to pick a guy on Florida to make the favorite in the market, and they picked Bennett, and everybody
but
copied it.
But it was 2-1 after the 6-1 blowout. So to, right. to 2-1 to plus 115 to minus 120, even if it's the one guy, that one guy keeps showing up to the window. I don't agree, but I'm saying that with some caution. I will say it with more chest out, if you will, if I actually bet Bobrovsky. Dave, here's where I'm at.
Yep.
Shea under 33.5 points. It's my best bet.
Wow. Okay. I could see that. Look at this card. It's great. Siakam, 20 points plus. That has to happen for the Pacers, I think, for them to be competitive, let alone win. Love the Holmgren over steals. That's a fun bet. And then Holmgren over 2.5 steals and blocks. How does he not get that? Doesn't he get more blocks? That seems like, wow, that card looks like 3 out of 4 minimum. That looks pretty strong. I know you got JY coming up. You down with this Pacers first quarter? Pacers first quarter makes a lot of sense to me tonight.
I don't mind it. I'm more tempted in like Pacers minus 8.5 plus 520 than we get close. The again, every second that comes off the clock, the closer I get to laying 14.5 with Indiana. So
goodbye. I'm gonna go change my hat on that note.
Yeah, an appropriate exit from our guy Dave Sharapan, who, by the way, look, best hat collection in the business. I'm just saying, it wasn't my favorite hat. That's all, and I blame the Thunder, not Dave. Like, you know, like their best. Hey, what if we get an orange hat? Just put now. See the snapback, but he's showing me off camera. There's a snapback piece of it that could drag me in a little bit. If you wear it backwards, it works a little bit better. Here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. We're gonna come up. We're gonna get. He salvaged it right out the back door. Up next, Coach James Young. The questions that everybody's trying to figure out: who wins the game? Does it go over? And is Mark Daigneault going to play Chet Holmgren? We'll figure that out next here on Sports Grid.